The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. You can find us on Twitter at Bastards_Boston. My name is Charlie Smith. I'm your host for this episode. You can find me on Twitter at Smith_MLB, coming to you from Los Angeles, California, by way of Providence, Rhode Island. Joining me on this show are Jeremy Schilling, coming to us from Boca Raton, Florida, by way of Centerville, Massachusetts, and Terry Cushman, coming to us from Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine. Jeremy, how are you doing? Where can the fans find you?
You can find me on Twitter at JTShill20, and I'm doing pretty good, Charlie.
Excellent. Terry, how are you doing? Where can we find you?
I am doing awesome, as always. Not in the Red Sox sense, but life-wise. I got a pretty good life. So, yeah, anyway, so I can be found on Twitter at CushmanMLB, Terry Talks Sox on Facebook, Terry Talks Sox on TikTok. We're on Instagram, and we've got some hot takes. Jeremy's like chomping at the bit to go after his guy.
We absolutely do have some hot takes. So without further ado, Jeremy, why don't you lead us off with the first?
All right, so Mark Elman, which is, I think, pronounced anime by any other, A-N-A-M-E by any other, says, my opinion is Cora managed the heck out of the team to get the contract extension, and once he did, he became cavalier and overconfident with his managing. My hot take is even with the contract extension, the Red Sox part ways with Cora during the offseason. Now, I'm not on the midweek show anymore, so I don't get to do clown takes. So I'm going to clown take this situation. Mark, first of all, don't take it personally. Really appreciate you following the podcast. Great Twitter picture of you and your kids. So as a father, I like that. And I agree with you that Cora managed the heck out of this team and continues to do so with a severely handicapped roster because Breslow doesn't know what he's doing, to use Terry's take from earlier in the evening on the recap show. But to say that Cora managed just to get the contract extension is an attack on his character, which is a really, really bad take. There is nothing in Alex Cora that would suggest that he doesn't manage for the clubhouse and for the organization and to put his team in the absolute best possible chance to win a game, given the tools that he's provided. Cavalier and overconfident. I don't even know where to go with this because I don't find it rational. Again, I think he's limited in his ability. And I'd almost like, Mark, if you listen to this, respond to me in a tweet form after this is released, because I'd like to hear some explanation for you thinking that this is, that he's cavalier and overconfident. He goes to the microphone after every single game. He explains his decisions. He does it in a very unambiguous, straightforward way. And he admits when he's wrong, which a lot of people in business, entertainment, professional sports won't do. So I'm confused by that. And then let's get to your hot take. The Red Sox part ways with Cora during the offseason. Mark, I have to ask you, what about ownership suggest they're just going to throw $21 million into the wind and fire Cora? Not to mention, he's done a good job, which you admit within your tweet. So it's been a little bit of a teardown here, Mark, and I apologize for that, but it's a bad tweet. There's nothing in his performance that would suggest that he shouldn't be the manager of the Boston Red Sox for at least the next 3 years. There's nothing to suggest in anything that ownership does, says, which is often lies, that would suggest that they're willing to extend a guy for the next 3 years and then fire him before the contract even goes into effect. Again, I appreciate you following the podcast, but your tweet's terrible. Thank you.
Terry.
So I love the fact that Mark fills out his profile. Not a lot of our hot takers do. Jeremy, he is from Miami. I don't know if you caught that. So you guys could do this over a beer or a latte, whatever Mark happens to be into. He is an educator, an aspiring writer, and this is my favorite, a full-time rationalizer. The wildest part about that take was Cora's getting fired. Like, there's no rationality there. Alex Cora is the smartest guy in this organization. Whether we, you know, whether some of his quirks drive us nuts or not.
Terry, that right there, that was a good take. I couldn't agree with you more. I can't believe we've never said that before.
Okay. Charlie, write it down. September 1st. Jeremy said Terry had a good take.
Yeah.
I take it back. No. I take it back. Abort.
No. We're good. I mean, we're here because of Alex Cora, and no manager within striking distance of a wild card spot has had a harder time getting there than him. I mean, every day he's handed like one of those crypto quip puzzles and he has to solve it before it's time to hand it to the umpire. And no way is he getting fired. And if anybody's getting fired, it's probably Breslow, which we've said in the last episode, probably not. But for the shortcomings of Breslow, Cora seems to be able to make up for it and keep us somewhat relevant. So not a good take. I don't think Alex Cora is not the type of guy to half-ass anything. You know, he's never quit on the team. His players have never quit on him. It just doesn't add up, unfortunately, for Mark.
Yeah, Mark, sorry, my friend. This is just going to be one that hurts. So there's absolutely no way that the Red Sox can afford to throw more money away because we've been so good at it thus far. That would just be dumb. It's just not going to happen. And Jeremy brought up something that's really, really huge, and we don't really talk about this all that much, and people kind of like to hit us for it. People attack our character on a regular basis, and we're pretty much used to it because we're just honest. And some people can't handle honesty. So if you can't handle honesty, just keep your friend circle, not saying you, but to those that can't handle it, just have your friend circle just be like, I don't know, your wife and your parents, and you'll never be let down. But we're realists. And unfortunately, Mark, this one with the attack of character, it is kind of tough. And I don't know you from, you know, the next person, a name by any other. Is your tag. So again, thank you for the take. And I'd actually, you can message me too. I would love to know a little bit more. I'm not in Florida. I'm on the other side of the country, but I'd like to know where you felt that or at what point you started feeling that. Was it directly after the contract or was it something that led up to the contract that made you feel that way? I'm just very curious at this point. There's no way that they're going to part ways. Yeah. Terry, go ahead.
So let's say the Red Sox hypothetically got into the playoffs, okay? When you're looking at the manager of the year situation, Cora would have to be considered, as a candidate to win that. The only other two, I mean, you could. I think where Brandon Hyde won it last year, I don't think he would win it 2 years in a row. Matt Quatrero has done a great job with the Royals. 100 plus losses last year, most likely into the postseason. So he's a guy that would probably contend for it. The other guy that could be a slam dunk choice would be Stephen Vogt, first year manager of the Cleveland Guardians. I don't know if any of us had them winning the division. I know I didn't. I had the Royals winning it. But, yeah, the expectations weren't high for the Guardians. And they're one win behind the Yankees at 78. So all three National League division leaders right now have 80, 81, and 82 wins. So that would put them fifth overall. But Alex Cora would certainly be in there. I mean, he's in a tougher division and a lot less to work with, especially from a pitching standpoint than what Cleveland has. So, yeah, he's done a good job, and short of a scandal happening, which I don't foresee, he's going to serve out the remainder of his contract for sure. And who knows, maybe get an extension beyond that or finally get a front office job. I don't know. But he's one of the most respected guys in baseball. And I don't think there's anything else we can say about that.
Yeah, no. Anything else that you want to add, Jeremy? Nope. All right, cool. Terry, why don't you go ahead and hit us with the next one?
So I am going to lump two of them in here together. I can't find Lori's take, so I'm going to have to go to the tweet. But Lori, a longtime contributor, used to run our Instagram account. She says John Henry's only goal was to break the 86-year curse. The other three championships were gravy. Now he's done, and whatever happens, happens. Another similar take comes from JP. And does he have a bio? He is also from Florida, the Hammocks, Florida. I don't know where that would be. But he says, if they do not spend this offseason, then this ownership group will not spend again in our lifetime. Now, our lifetime is a very, I mean, he's going to be dead in the next 15 years. He'd be about 90 if he lives 15 years. So most of us are going to live longer than that. Three of us on the show right now are 41 this year. But that's a long time. But what I will say is, I've said in recent shows, it wouldn't shock me if they came out and said that the payroll will be lower next year than it is this year. And that's hard to wrap my head around, because we're going to be at $153 million. That's about as low as we've been at the start of any season, I think, in quite some time, probably well over a decade. But I could see John Henry saying, okay, so we're going to set it at $200 million now. And it's just going to get lower and lower until we're essentially like the Astros. When the Astros were winning all those championships, their payroll wasn't over 200, because they had a lot of homegrown guys. They did a lot of early extensions. Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, to name a few. None of them were making more than 125, 150. So I think that's John Henry's dream. So I certainly could see him lowering it and say, okay, you only have roughly $50 million to spend this year. And I hope not. And it's going to be the ultimate indictment if they do take that path. But I get the pessimism. Going back to Lori's tweet, he got his one championship, the other four were gravy. Let's not forget, the Red Sox were the only sports team John Henry owned back in 04. Like, we were it. We got all of his attention. We got all of his resources, and he wanted to win. He wanted to break that curse as bad as we did. And gradually they took on the soccer team in Liverpool. I think the hockey team came next. Well, actually, Roush Fenway might've even been the next.
Fenway was next.
That was pretty early. Yeah. His stake in that team, I don't even think he's the majority owner, but he does have a sizable stake in it. And then again, the rest of the teams fell through. They're apparently trying to add the Celtics to that portfolio. Hopefully that does not happen.
don't say that, Terry, please.
I guess if it does happen, he won't have full control until 2028. So take that for what it's worth. But who knows? This season is going to be fascinating because the kids are almost up. They're in the upper levels of the minors. They're going to be debuting this year. And you've got some that are already up. You got Rafaela, Duran, still several years of control. Same as Abreu, same as Casas. There is literally no reason not to spend this winter. So we'll see what happens. But eventually, I mean, John Henry's not going to be in full control, whether he steps back or he's no longer with us. I mean, he's in his mid-70s right now. So that's... It might sound insensitive for me to say that, but it's the circle of life. So I don't know. That's where I'm at with those.
So Terry, the hammocks are to the west of the airport and in Miami-Dade. So west of the Miami airport.
So all these pricks are right near you.
Well, they're in Miami-Dade. I'm in Palm Beach County. That's two counties away.
I'm just kidding. They're not pricks, by the way.
Yeah, they're not. And I'm going to rewrite JP's tweet.
Okay.
If they do not spend this offseason, then this ownership group will not spend again in their lifetime. In which case, I have a much different take. Okay, because in our lifetime means hopefully another 40 years for me anyways. I think that's just utterly ridiculous and like doomsday-ish, and I'm just not going to go there. I don't know Lori as well as you guys do. I appreciated her contributions to the war room, and I'm not a part of the Instagram account, so I didn't work with her in that capacity, but, I disagree. I thought John Henry wanted to win until he became a multiple sports owner, right? Like they were still spending in 07 through basically what 17, 18, they were still spending. They were still supporting the big league club. This is a more recent treating the Red Sox like an asset. And so he clearly wanted to break the curse. He clearly wanted to monetize Fenway Park, which he's done. And he sucks now. No question about it. I hate John Henry. Sell the team. You know, like move on and do whatever else you want to do. And if he buys the Celtics, I'm going to be in a bad space. But he supported the big league club for a long time. Now, here's my hope. Boston sports, which is supported by all of New England, as I've mentioned, will hopefully at some point bully Henry into either selling the team or supporting the team. And we bullied him into signing Devers. He showed up at the outdoor game at Fenway for the Bruins, and he was basically bullied. He was yelled at, screamed at, signed Devers. Boston Sports Radio, the day after that game, got call after call after call about the treatment. People like standing next to him, yelling in his face, you know, to the point where it was literally 24 hours later. I'll never forget it. I was in a gym in Cypress Creek in Broward County when they signed him. It was the day after the hockey game. He got bullied into it. So it's possible. Now, this season has gone much different than I thought. I thought no, we would stink and eventually we'd just stop showing up and he'd be forced to. Now I think it's the opposite. They're a year earlier than they expected, and hopefully that forces him to spend. The fan base is so attentive, right? Like Nesson's ratings are down to start the year, but they start winning, so it bounces back. He's got to read the tea leaves. If they spend, we will show up. We will turn on Neston. We will buy Neston 360. And I think he's a smart enough businessman to understand that. I hope, because I think he's a piece of blank. So that's where I'm at with it. You saw me, Charlie. You see me working over here.
I appreciate it. When I'm here, when you see my face, you remember. Thank you.
So I'm serious. I really think being a year early is going to force them to spend a year earlier than they were planning to, if they were planning at all. If they weren't planning at all, we're all bleeped, and these tweets are right, and John Henry's lifetime he's not going to spend on the team.
So, man, this is hard. So, JP, if they do not spend this offseason, then Social Group will not spend again in our lifetime. If that is even 25% accurate, would you continue being a fan? No. Would anybody continue being a fan? No. But Jeremy just brought up something really, really important. If you hurt them,
I will.
It happens from time to time. We agree a lot more than you know. But if you want to hurt a team the worst, you hurt him in the wallet. Don't buy tickets. Don't buy Nesson. Don't support the team. Don't buy jerseys. Don't buy merchandise. Terry, I'm talking to you. Don't you dare buy that Jaren Duran medium shirt. I'm not going to be buying any Red Sox stuff. I have, you know, MLB TV, so I can watch the Red Sox. Obviously, I want to be able to watch as many games as I possibly can. I've actually enjoyed watching even some of the Yankees games because I want to watch some history be made. And no, I don't see Aaron Judge hit a home run every single at bat, but you know what? That's still kind of exciting. I get to see as much baseball as I can if I don't get to see the Red Sox, if they're you know, blacked out and whatnot. But here's the thing. If that's – it's so hard to even process that comment because – I can't let that be. I've said this before. It's one of the most storied franchises in the world. It's one of the most well-known franchises globally. We have one of the oldest ballparks, stadiums, you know, cathedrals, whatever you want to call it, in sports. It's the oldest one in Major League Baseball. It's over 100 years old. We have won more World Series titles since 2000 than any other team, period. Full stop. It's inexcusable to be in the situation that we're in right now. We need to be better. And that starts with the leadership and ownership, management, everything. Now, March Madness, John Henry's only goal was to break the 86-year curse. The other three championships were gravy. Now he's done and whatever happens, happens. That can't be it. You know, I understand from the business ownership standpoint, this is a part of the portfolio. I get it. But you can't want to own something and then be known for sucking. You don't want that. Not when you own the Red Sox. It's different when you own the Athletics because they've had terrible ownership for decades. That family's just awful, just garbage. And this wasn't like this a couple of years ago. So 2018, we did spend. I find it hard to say it's just gravy when you spend big money. We spent a lot of money in 2004, spent more money in 2013. We spent a boatload of money in 2018. That's not gravy. That's an owner putting the money into the product, forcing us. Yeah, if you want to see us live, you're going to have to come pay the big money. But it's not justified now. And some of it's been bad luck, you know, injuries, a very stupid trade. But you can't sit there and say, we want to sell you on the Fenway experience. That's asinine. That's just garbage. You want the Fenway experience? Go buy a photo. That's an experience. It'll save you thousands of dollars. The average family of four, if they... assuming family of four, you know, average in America. If you wanted to go to Fenway Park, including parking, couple of brewskis, couple of sodas, four dogs, you know, parking, maybe snacks, you're looking, if you get like decent seats, you're looking at upwards of $1,000, depending on where you're sitting. So if I'm going to try to justify spending $1,000, you better have something good out there. So already I'm scouring to see, okay, cool. I'm counting every five to see you know, Haug pitch. I don't want to see you know, a mop-up guy start the game. I'm not going to spend $1,000 for that. Absolutely not. I'd rather donate it. There's no point. So honestly, ownership just needs to get to a certain point. Go back to doing what you guys are good at. Invest in the team. Show the fans that you're not stupid, because it's been a lot of stupid the past 4, 5, 6 years. Believe me, fans will come in droves. They'll spend $60, $70 in parking to see a proper product, but not when you put this out with no reinforcements and stuff like that. But March Madness, Lori, you know, we had a blast working together. I disagree, vehemently disagree. That wasn't gravy. You know, at the time we were putting big money in, and now we're just not. And it looks like, you know, Terry made a comment where the expectation might be to minimize payroll and spend less money. And if that's the case, then we're going to go back to, you know, drinking from the stupid juice bucket. And I'm done with that. So if ownership wants to put their big boy and big girl pants on, we would love to continue supporting the product and stop being, you know, negative in certain capacities. I'm not negative because I want to be. I'm negative because I'm just honest. And the same with the rest of the cast. Facts are facts. If you don't like it, again, I already told you what to do. So anything else that you've... Yeah, T, go ahead.
I've mentioned this before, but not in quite some time. If you go back to... And I was trying to find the exact quote from either the article or maybe even Dombrowski directly, and I was unable to find it. But basically... During the World Series celebration in 2018, in the clubhouse with all the champagne spewing around, Dombrowski asked Henry about, you know, his status and a possible extension, and just kind of shared what his short and long-term vision was for the team. Dombrowski did. And Henry just kind of shrugged him off. And the thing that I took from that when I initially read it was that John Henry was almost kind of mad that that championship essentially cost them $245 million that year, which was way over the luxury tax by like $30 million. Like, they were way over it because they had all this dead money. Sandoval was still on the books. Pedroia. And one or two other players. So, you know, it should have been seen as a red flag kind of at that moment. Like, what World Series winning executive wouldn't get an extension right away? The only other example I could think of is recently with the Astros and how they got rid of James Click. And that had a lot to do with the owner meddling with the day-to-day operations of that baseball department. So, like the hot taker said, JP and Lori, I think it's fair to be speculative on what their short and long-term plans are for spending, because... Right now, nobody's steering the ship. We're just out of control. There's just no real direction right now, at least from a pitching standpoint. There's no willingness to make bold moves. I mean, you've got so many, all your prospects are in the upper levels of the minors right now. You couldn't start them all if you wanted to. And nobody seems to know what to do with them. The last meaningful pitching contract was Nathan Eovaldi 6 years ago. He got a 4-year deal. We haven't had a meaningful midterm contract signed for 3 or 4 years on a starting pitcher. It hasn't happened. They keep trying to do it their way, and their way has been an epic failure year in and year out. So nobody respects this organization, and ratings are down. Like, everything is bad. I don't know why they, you know, they've got a terrible optics problem, as we saw with the lack of interest in executives wanting to come here. So I don't know. I think John Henry is just cocky and arrogant and disillusioned enough to believe that he's on the right track, and he's not.
I really do want to know what happens this offseason. I'm very curious, because the narrative is going to change, and people's, I think, mindset of trying really hard to be optimistic, you're going to see people turn if it doesn't get better next year. If 2025 is even remotely close, even a little bit, people will roast ownership. I don't think anyone's going to sit by and watch a dumpster fire team another year in a row. They're just not. If we don't get reinforcements, they're going to say, listen, I know you guys got five starters. You're talking about getting a sixth. You need to get two more. Because when one falls off or one goes down, Jeremy's mentioned this multiple times, there's no depth. Ryan Baio stayed up instead of getting sent down just for a little beat because we had no depth. If we had more people available, yeah, maybe Baio would have gone down. But the fact of the matter is, we're not going to be able to survive at this point. You know, too many rookies with innings limits that haven't been met yet. Too many players that haven't had that full year experience. There's still so many things that are unknown right now. So they're going to have to put their money where their mouth is if they're going to try and say that we're putting a competitive product out there. Anything else that you want to add, T?
We've only won three of our last 11 games. So, I mean, if we drop two out of three or even get swept by the Mets, as I picked, I mean, hopefully the beat writers start getting nasty, you know, with their own rhetoric. And then we'll see. I mean, and then you have that White Sox series coming up. We split with them in a four-game set earlier in the year. If we drop two out of three in that one, it's going to be ugly. I just want to see chaos, and I want to see accountability. That's what I want to see.
I think that's the number one thing that all of us want to see right now. And I'm patiently waiting to see if that's going to be a part of the picture. Jeremy, anything else you want to add? Cool. Real quick, we just had an extra little tidbit. This is coming to us from @WillYourHitBall from Caleb, Will Your Abreu Defender. My hot take is the next podcast won't surpass 2,000 views.
No, 200. Terry, 200
views. Sorry, 200 views. My fault. It's getting late for me and it's late for you guys. So, Terry, why don't you hit him with the numbers don't lie bit?
As we say in these situations, Caleb, here's the bad news. We'll have 200 downloads within probably 30 minutes of the upload, and we might have double that by that point. We do very well. So I'm sorry your butt hurt. I'm sorry the truth is a struggle for you. And the even worse news is we're going to keep telling it. And when Willier Abreu gets traded this winter, we'll cover it and we'll dedicate that episode to you.
I love it. Jeremy, anything you'd like to add?
No.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it on that one. Everyone from the Bastards to you, have a great one. Take care.